As promised, we are joined by the head football coach at Washington State. He's not only that, he's also a New York Times bestselling author. He's entering his sixth season with the Cougars. They went 8-5 last year. They were 7-2 in the Pac-12. They opened up their season against Montana State. It is September 2nd. Mike Leach is my guest. Mike, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Well, it's great to be back. How's everything going there?
Mike, everything's great here. So before we start talking football, bring me up to date. How has your summer been, and have you been able to get any quality time in Key West?
You know, it's been kind of a busy summer period. So I was able to go to the islands with June Jones for his foundation. He's got a foundation over there, so that was pretty good. And then Jack Thompson and Jesse Sapolo, some of those guys were there. And then I did go to Key West, which was kind of busy, you know, combination of work and relatives, and relatives and work can sometimes be the same thing. And so now I'm in Pensacola, Florida, as I'm getting ready to go into the Pac-12 media days there in L.A.
Mike Leach joining us. So let's shift over to football. You've got Luke Falk coming back at quarterback, and all this guy's done in his first three seasons has put up nearly 11,000 passing yards, 89 touchdowns. As plenty of people know, he was not exactly on the top of that depth chart when he arrived as a walk-on. In fact, Mike, he says he was seventh on the depth chart. Was he really that far down, and did you ever picture him having the career that he's had so far?
I don't think he is quite seventh. I mean, there were other walk-ons, and if he were counting himself as the last walk-on, that would probably put him seventh. But we did actually view him as a kind of a pick-of-the-litter sort of walk-on. And I thought he could. I mean, I thought he could. And then so what our situation was is we had limited number of quarterbacks, and in that class, we just knew numerically we needed more, but we were out of scholarships. We scholarshiped a guy that was a four-star guy, and then we needed another one. Luke Falk, we felt like he'd been overlooked, and so we were very thrilled to get him. And I thought he was a Division I scholarship guy. I just didn't happen to have a scholarship.
Right, so
and then as time goes on, of course you know, he beats the other kid out in the spring, and I think the other kid transferred on the strength of that. And then a guy got injured, and so Falk played even earlier than that. And the biggest thing with him is the preparation. I mean, a lot of what a quarterback does is from the neck up. I get a kick out of everybody saying, this guy's this strong, this fast, and all he's got to do is work on his accuracy. Well, accuracy is where it starts, and then after that, you work from the neck up as far as featuring the abilities and in elevating the play of the players around you. If you can do that, you got a pretty good chance to play quarterback. And Luke's constantly prepared in those type of situations. And, you know, and then went out there, got on a roll, and we were kind of emerging as a team. And then he's improved ever since, you know, and kind of one of those guys that sort of monitors and pushes the others in kind of a quiet sort of way. He's not really a rah-rah guy. He's very calm under pressure. It's almost like talking to a farmer, you know, where everything's even keel. But, you know, it's like, he wants to talk about the weather and, you know, oh, by the way, I only completed 70%. You know, he's one of those guys, you know.
Mike Leach joining us. You know, and then again, Mike, it helps when you have guys to get the football too. Tavares Martin had a big year for you at wide receiver, and he's on the Biletnikoff Award watch list this year. What kind of expectations, then, do you have for him and for the offense as a whole this season?
Well, I think, first of all, I think we've steadily gotten better. We've got a lot of guys back. Like last year, we were predominantly freshmen and sophomores, so we've got most of our team back. And hopefully I don't get tired of them because most of them will be back the following year too. Not Luke, but most of them will. And then, Tavares is kind of a long guy, big hands, explosive, and very competitive guy. And then when he plays relaxed and doesn't put too much on himself, you can't stop him. And I think he's had a really good summer and has kind of steadily emerged. And then the other thing I think the more time he and Luke have logged together, then I think the more it's elevated him.
We're talking to Mike Leach. He is the head coach at Washington State. He's a New York Times bestselling author. You know, Mike, I had Lincoln Riley, your former quarterback, on the show after he was introduced as the new head coach to Oklahoma. Naturally, we got around to talking about his transition from being a player to a coach. Dana Holgorsen has said that you told Riley, quote, "You know, you're not a very good quarterback, but you're asking a lot of really smart questions, so you might ought to try coaching," end quote. So what do you remember about Riley as a player and then about that transition to coaching?
Lincoln's one of those guys that's always been kind of one of the older kids in the class. By that, I mean, you know, a little taller than most. I mean, people caught up to him by the time he got to college, but taller than most, hung out more with the adults than the kids. The adults would come up to guys like me and say, "Why can't you be more like the Riley kids? You know, he's very polite. He's got good manners and he always stands up straight," you know, that type of thing. So a very conscientious guy, extremely conscientious guy. So we go out there in this particular year, I got a bunch of walk-ons at quarterback, you know, guys that just show up and say, "I want to play quarterback." And so over spring, you know, we kind of pair through them. And so then in Lincoln's one of them, one kid I'm just going to cut outright. And then Lincoln, and I'm thinking I'm cutting Lincoln outright too. And so then Lincoln picked up the package extremely quickly. I mean, knew the plays, and not just the plays, but, okay, I understood stuff like, okay, we're doing this to set this up, and the safety commits, and then this guy comes to the space, the safety vacated, so then we should have a throw here, and if we don't have a throw here, it's because a linebacker filled here, then we got the guy underneath there. You know, I just understood how it all wound together. And then he he threw it sidearm. Probably can't throw it as far as I can now. I'm pretty certain that he couldn't in his prime throw it as far as I can now. He'll argue with that, but the thing is of course he'll be wrong. And then So then I was very impressed with how he picked it up. And then the way he gets going to the huddle, and by the time, you know, walk-ons go in, you're dealing with not just the threes, but below the threes. And he's sitting there instructing everybody on what to do and stuff like that. And I thought he did a good job. Well, so I bring him in and cut him, which I figured he'd be upset about that. But I thought he'd be happy where I said, you know, "But I want you to be a student assistant and coach with us." Oh, heck no. He explained, you know, in a very mature fashion, explained to me on what the Red Raiders were missing out on by not allowing him to play at quarterback, and that he was going to have to think about this because he planned to be a starting quarterback somewhere. And so he talked to some folks, he didn't accept it. And then the next day, he came in and later accepted it, and he's done a tremendous job. Was, you know, literally my right-hand guy for like 7 years, and which is why I made him a full-time coach so quickly, because there are all these guys with all this experience. Everybody says so-and-so's got experience. But, you know, Lincoln had experience with me specifically, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, it fit what I was after, you know. So, yeah, he was the youngest full-time coach in the country and did a really good job of it.
Now, listen, he's an outlier. Mike Leach joining us. I mean, he's certainly an outlier. But let me ask you this, because that staff that you had at Texas Tech was truly amazing. You, Holgorsen, Art Briles, Sonny Dykes, to name a few, and then all your quarterbacks who you've gone on or who have gone on to become coaches themselves, like Riley and Cliff Kingsbury, among others. So how do you go about selecting assistants and people that you want to work with, and what lets you know that somebody's going to be a good coach and a good member of the staff?
You know, I think the biggest thing is I wanted people that were intelligent people that, would kind of express their thoughts and views, because, you know, you need to have your thoughts and views challenged. That doesn't mean that I'll be wise enough. You know, like, if somebody comes to you with a great idea, that doesn't mean that as a leader you'll be smart enough to change, but at least you'll be exposed to perhaps a better option. Okay, and then sometimes it's garbage and you were right in the first place. But the thing is just kind of turning over stones and sifting through approaches and ideas, I think, is very helpful. So we always encouraged that and had as many people as possible that, you know, we could do that with. And so it's kind of like we gave guys jobs, trust them to do the job, and then all worked very well together. And I thought communicated well together. So I've been very proud of those guys, the careers that they've had, and how they've been able to go on, because I think they've all done a tremendous job. And even though, you know, in some cases it hasn't unfolded the way they'd like, or, you know, in this business, you know, I mean, guys will get fired whether they should or not. I mean, heck, I got fired and they didn't even pay me for 2009, and that's the last time that Texas Tech has won 9 games. Can you imagine that if all of a sudden the radio people, the end of the year, they owe you a balloon payment and they say, well, we're not going to pay you. And of course, they couldn't get away with that in most countries, and they couldn't get away with it in any other state except Texas, where Texas will exercise sovereign immunity on an integrated contract with the government. And I get a kick out of all these Texans clapping their hands and beating their chests and talking about how they don't like big government, and they're the biggest byproduct of big government. If you work for the state, they'll just take your contract. And that's literally what happened. But anyways, despite that, it was a great setting there. There was fantastic people. The fans at Texas Tech were fantastic. And also the administration, our presidents were great. Our chancellors were great, except the chancellor at the end, Kent Hance, and so I will name his name, who is a liar, a cheat, and a thief. And a career politician, which he's a prime example of why nothing can get done in Washington. You don't have to look any further than him, although don't expect the truth to come out of his mouth. But despite all that, it was a tremendous place with tremendous players. You know, we had overachievers like Wes Welker, Danny Amendola, mixed in with, you know, the occasional true stud like Michael Crabtree and some of these guys. And it was just a great environment. You know, we knew that, I had this whole underdog mentality. Our staff did, our players did, and went out there and let it fly and slugged away. And then there was a time where we were all about the same age. So it's kind of like these guys exploded out and emerged at the same time.
So it's a great time and a great thing, except for the chancellor, who was a liar, a cheat, and a thief who owes you money.
Yeah, I mean, all the other guys prior to him were great. And then and he is very power hungry, a very power hungry man who didn't like any attention, anybody getting any attention other than him. And so I truly think a big part of it was he is very jealous of the attention. And then I think he'd brag to his friends and the people at the country club that he was going to sign me to some insanely lowball contract. The year before I was over 10 years, we had the third best record in the conference, and he wanted to pay me a lowball 10th, which of course I refused to sign.
You weren't having that, Mike.
When I refused to sign it, I think, he lost face. And then of course, then the 60 Minutes did a story on our football program, and I think he got very jealous of that. Okay. So I think he was planning, to fire me before it ever even, the 2009 season ever.
Mike, can I do this? I hate to interrupt, Mike, but you know what? When you and I do this, you're unlike any guest that I ever put on the show in that you can carry an entire segment or more. And I feel like all of our conversations are amazing, and they always end on these hard outs where I have to jump in awkwardly and say, Mike, it's been awesome. Thank you very much. But they're making me get out. It happened again, Mike. I hate that. I'm really sorry about that, Mike. Listen, it is amazing to get caught up with you. You are unlike any guest we have, and it's great to have you back. Mike, have an amazing summer. Let's do it again soon.